Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I didn't know, Jay, you were going to come back with it, but that's okay. It is Sam and Greg. We're coming, we're back in the neighborhood. Normally, Thomas, I just knocked something off the shelf there. Thomas Mott.
Whoa, that's not good.
Well, it's all right. It's okay. I got a ton of stuff here. You wouldn't think that I would have all this notes in front of me here, but I'm knocking stuff down, and I'll explain
you're
this.
You're back on a Saturday morning, and you're wrecking the place.
This ain't my office. This is somebody else's office. For those of you who don't, I'm all kind of discombobulated here, but that's okay. I'm going to bring it back around. If you have not heard this before.
There you go.
Sam and I play a little game during the show, but we haven't done it since our old producer left, and now he's back. Jahi is back with us. Hey. I want you to come on, Jahi. And by the way, Jahi's got something for you later on in this hour. We used to do a regular HBCU update. I'm not sure if he's prepared for one today.
I'm prepared.
Oh, you got something for us? Okay.
I'm good.
But Jahi threw this on. I had a couple of things I wanted to say. I had a shout-out to Martin Racing. They're headed out off the hook. They've been calling us and saying, hey, man, Maurice and Carl and those guys, happy to hear us back on a Saturday morning. We are normally Sunday mornings, 6 a.m. until 9. But this morning, Thomas Mott had to be somewhere else. So they let us slide back over and come back to the old neighborhood. So we play this music when we play a little game. Mr. Crenshaw, I bet you still ain't bought this thing from Target yet, have you? Sam.
No, I haven't.
No, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I can always have fun with it with you though. That's the
all
thing.
All right, this is what we do. It's called the 5 second game. It couldn't be easier to play. I discovered this thing a long time ago. Sam and I play it from time to time. I'm going to ask Sam a question. He's got to give me three answers to the question, and he's got 5 seconds. And there's a little thing here. I'm going to turn over, and it makes a little noise. But it's like an hourglass. But it's not an hour. It's 5 seconds. So, Mr. Crenshaw, are you ready? And for those of you at home, play along, or in the car, wherever you are. Sam, name
wherever
me three.
You are.
Name me three. Yes. Sam, name me three types of jewelry. Three types of jewelry. Go.
Necklace, watch, ring.
Very good. Well, I wasn't sure if you're gonna make that one, but you did. Nice going. My wife's asleep. My wife's asleep, but yet she still answered that question with no problem. Sam, name me three things you would put on a snowman. Three things you would put on a snowman. Go.
A hat, a carrot, and a lump of coal.
A lump of coal? Was that the nose?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You
no,
made
the
it though.
Carrot is the nose. The lump of coal would be like
the buttons.
Yeah, the lump of coal would be the buttons.
Or the eyes.
See okay, well, he should have said lumps of coal.
I got
he made
you.
It sound like singular.
I got you, Sam.
Was it a snowman with a patch over one eye? What's going on there, man? Anyway, there's a 5 second rule. Okay, so there you go. We haven't played that in a while. Wanted to do it on this October 3rd. Can you believe it's October already, man?
October 3rd, but it feels like it outside, man. It feels like football weather. It's Jeff Fisher. We thank him once again for coming on and dropping us some knowledge. And make sure and watch tomorrow for his High School Football America Top 100 that he's going to put out. He is always and see how many schools from our area will be included. He gave us a little clue as to some that will be included in that. And Lowndes and teams like that should be there. Cedar Grove. So we'll watch to see.
Okay. By the way, I didn't get a chance to throw this out there, but McEachern, it got all – kinds of construction going on over at that school. On both entrances, like you go
it's
over there.
It's never done.
You go that's, over there a lot.
School, that school is never done. It's a constant project. It's a constant something going on.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
at
like
the campus.
At the campus. You know what? That's about right, because how can you put anything more over there? It's so big. But yet, they're tearing up the streets and inside there. So anyway, coming up later on this hour, we are going to talk to
last time I was over there.
Go ahead.
Last time I was over there, I ended up on the field. I didn't even know was there. I said, the school, the field is on the back side and the back around the corner. And sure enough, I said, I didn't know this field was here. As many times I've been to the school, I'd never seen it before.
And that's not easy to do for you.
Teacher.
As I was saying, coming up later on this hour, in fact, next segment, we're going to talk to Chris Mahler. And Chris is going to be given, I don't know if we call it, it's like being knighted by the Queen. We're going to give him a special acknowledgement. And you want to tune in for that. We're going to give him a chance to do something for himself, but yet ingratiate himself even more to our show. So that is coming up. We're going to get an update because Chris is from Saturday down south. We've got to talk college football now that we're here on a Saturday. And, of course, a little HBCU update.
Oh, it's big.
Oh, yeah, with Jahi later on the hour. And I actually have a casting. Not only do I have a casting call where I'm going to point you towards some stuff, I have one of the greatest stories that just kind of popped up into my head when we were talking about LeBron's new house. There is an interesting story connected. I think if this is the house, I think it is. There's an interesting story connected with it. So we're going to get into that, man. But like I said, Jeff brought us up to speed on what's going on in high school football nationally, some locally here. But man, you are the guy we go to, Sam, when we want to talk about stuff locally, high school and college.
Well, you threw out a couple of big wins last night, and one was the win for Cedar Grove going up to Milton and getting a win. And Milton's a team that was playing their third game. Cedar Grove, the Cab County School, playing their first game, and they get the win 14-7. That was a GPB game last night. Cherokee, he mentioned, is still undefeated. They beat Cartersville 14-12. They win that game. That was a big win for Cherokee. They remain undefeated. A team in Cobb County people may not be talking about a lot, North Cobb. North Cobb is, you know, they're still undefeated. They got a win over Etowah last night, 21-10. So it's good to see that one as well. McEachern got the win, 8-7. They did win last night, Greg. 8-7, they beat Noon. You ain't giving them a shout out, man. You ain't giving them a shout out.
Well, actually, I'm gonna do that in a second. Hang on. I was trying to think and waiting for you to tell me they either got the 8 by taking a 2 after a touchdown, or did they get a safety?
I'm not sure.
See, that's what information
8-7
I was waiting on.
Is it the baseball score?
Exactly.
The baseball score. But hey, you want to get a win, you get the win.
Shout out, Lost Mountain.
The Fighting Chuckeries.
Get your construction
all
over
right,
it, will
the
you,
Fighting
please?
John Chuckeries. No, it will always be going on at that school. The Fighting John Chuckeries, Roswell, was a winner, 37-7. You know, he's the bus driver out there or something. At Roswell.
Norton.
Loves
the Norton.
Kick for those guys.
Norton.
I know it. Did you see Chuckery driving the bus?
Bunch of
ham. Oh, guys, get on this bus.
Bunch of ham and eggers.
Noonan beat Harris County. Harris County's first loss, 34-21, final in that one. So the number of games to talk about. Archer goes to North Gwinnett. They get a 14-13 win. Some close games last night. I was out at the Tucker Southwest DeKalb game, and Tucker wins that one 29-12. It was back to back nights I'd been out because I was out there the night before to see Stevenson against Lithonia. To be at Hallford Stadium on Memorial Drive and no fans, Greg. I'd never been in that stadium and just look at the and bleachers and nobody's there. But those are the rules in the Cab County. Those are the rules for the city of Atlanta for their facilities. The stadiums are empty. But Southwest DeKalb and Tucker, for people who don't know, are the most successful programs in the DeKalb County system down through the years. The most wins, the state championships. And yet they played last night and nobody could be there. Now, there were some moms and some dads outside the gate that were standing out there. And you could hear them screaming. And, you know, somebody's mama had a cowbell. She was ringing out there. I said, who brought the cowbell? But they're outside the gate looking over the fence and watching the game, which, you know, it was kind of funny, but it's also kind of sad because, you know, the parents want to be in and they want to be in and watch the game and see their young people. So
yeah, but
hopefully, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the good news that comes out of this and yeah, I, you know, it's crazy that I actually thought about this. It's a part of high school football. Depending on where you are, it's more prevalent than other places, but ain't got no parents fighting and arguing amongst each other. Now that they're not allowed in there. That's an actual thing. But you get that on, you know, you got them over exuberant parents that just start screaming, get my baby in there and all that stuff. And
they're screaming at the coach, so coach don't get to hear the parents.
They don't get to hear that no more.
No armchair coaching back there behind them screaming
Let me ask you another question. You know what the situation is with these high school games, and yet you still go there, and you kind of know what to expect, but you're not sure. But let me ask you, what's been the one stadium that you've walked into that really set you back when you walked in and you felt the crowd not being there? You felt the difference from the last time you were there
that was last night, because I know ordinarily what would be there for Tucker and Southwest DeKalb out of Memorial Drive at Hallford. Ordinarily, and I used to always dread driving from, you know, 11 Alive, which is, you know, in the middle of town, and having to get out on Memorial Drive on a Friday. First of all, there's the traffic out there anyway, and then people trying to get to the games, and it would always be a push to get out to that place on a Friday. And now, because there are fewer people on the road and there's nobody going to the game, you just drive right in. And it just felt strange being able to drive right up to the gate and get find me a place to park and go in, and there was nobody there. So that was odd to see. A couple of the scores I want to throw out. Lovejoy had a big win last week at North Gwinnett. They won again. They beat Griffin 27-6. Douglas County remains undefeated. 19-13 winners over East Paulding. River Ridge is still undefeated. I mentioned that one to Jeff as well. They got to win 52-35 over Chattahoochee. There's some teams in our area that are still, you know, undefeated. Jonesboro falls 7-6 to Banneker. Those are some of the games just to talk about. Of course, you had college football coming up today. We're going to get into it with Chris Marlin in just a few minutes. A big game in Athens. ESPN Game Day
prime
is in Athens. And it's prime time tonight. It is the oldest rivalry in the Deep South, Auburn against Georgia. They first played it in in Piedmont Park. Mm-hmm. They played the game in Piedmont Park many years ago, and this has always been a late November game. Auburn is always the game right before Georgia plays one other game and then plays Georgia Tech. Usually at the back end of the schedule, this year is moved up to October. So the first weekend in October, they're looking for around 20 to 23,000 fans. They're going to let into a stadium that usually seats 92-plus over in Athens tonight. No tailgating or any of that type thing, but they are going to have a limited number of fans that will get to come out. So it's a big game day. Georgia Tech is off this week. Georgia State is home at noon against East Carolina. The last time East Carolina came to town, they were playing across the street at Old Fulton County Stadium. They played NC State in the last Peach Bowl game to be played outdoors in 92. It was the last football game to be played at Fulton County Stadium, and East Carolina won that one. So they're back here to play Georgia State today. Of course, the Panthers didn't get to play last week, had some incorrect readings on the coronavirus test, and they didn't get to play at Charlotte. So they've been chopping at the bit to go. 12 noon to start for that one. Georgia Southern's at Louisiana Monroe tonight. That's a 7 o'clock starter as they get to play down there. A couple other teams from the state that are in action. So we do have some college football in town. We got Georgia State at noon today, and we got Georgia home tonight, 7:30 over in Athens.
Hey, before we get on out of here, we got to bring our own illustrious director in. I call it him Spike Lee now, but I'm talking about Jahi. Listen, I mentioned another HBCU alum, but Jahi, don't jump in here for a minute. You got something for us, man?
Yeah. I just want to let people know, since we talk about high school sports, just giving a little tidbit out there. I did this before with the HBCU app. They had the HBCU Go. If you want to watch a lot of the high school sports, especially right here in town, FHS Network, they have the mobile app. You can watch it, especially if you're pulling up there. A lot of the games are on the NFHS Network. It is a subscription based, but you can go on there and get the app and see all the games from your schools.
So. Jahi, say that again and a little bit slower so everybody gets it, because I was like,
NFHS Network.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. NFHS Network. You're able to. They have a mobile app, and you're able to download that. And a lot of the games in the state here are broadcast on there. So,
yeah. All right, man. Appreciate it. Oh, nothing but knowledge here. We got two things that we're regularly doing. We're bringing knowledge and we're bringing jobs. We're going to talk about them jobs in a little bit, but we are not done talking college football. We're on a Saturday, Sam.
Yeah.
We back on a Saturday. We back in our own neighborhood. And a guy who has become special to the show is going to join us next. He doesn't just know college football. He does stand up, too. Chris Mahler from Saturday Down South is going to join us next. Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, be sure to check us out on radio.com app. I haven't said this in a little while. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam, man, that was loud. Sam and I returning to the old neighborhood. Haven't done a Saturday morning in a while. We'll be back on Sunday morning, tomorrow morning. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, tune in tomorrow morning. We're going to have Karen Pistano. We're going to talk French Open with her. Adam Alexander, NASCAR, big weekend, and just what has been going on since we talked to him. Sekou Smith, who is down in the bubble, the NBA play finals. And,
yes, he is.
And then
he is ready, still there.
As we get ready for the Falcons and prime time, we're going to talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter. He's going to join us. So that's all going to be tomorrow. We will have an extra hour. We're going to be on from 6 until 10 tomorrow morning because the Falcons are playing Monday night. So anyway, that's for tomorrow. Right now, we're going to bring in a guy who has become quickly a favorite of our show. I just love going back and forth with this guy. So, Chris, first of all, good morning, and I want to tell you something that you may not know.
Oh, boy. Good morning.
This is Chris Mahler from Saturday Down South. Chris is, along with being a knowledgeable college football, would you call yourself an expert? Broadcaster?
I would not. Especially after my picks last week, I would not use that word.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll consider you that. But the other thing is, Chris does stand-up comedy. But it's just the combination of that and his personality that has just warmed our hearts here. And we don't bestow this honor on too many people. In fact, there's only been two other people in the history of our show that we've given this honor to. And we wanted to extend to you the opportunity to pick your own, every time you come on, theme song.
What?
Yes.
Guys, theme music, dude.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of originally Steve Miller's The Joker, but that's more about, you know, hiding out in the basement and rolling a big fat dube, and we don't want to do that on a Saturday or Sunday morning. So we thought we'd let you pick that. You know, you're not a midnight toker. I don't know that. So I just
he might like that idea.
One of my least favorite songs of all time, so I'm really glad we didn't go with that.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
And also, I'm glad that you had the stipulation of just Saturday and Sunday morning. We don't want to do that.
Exactly. So you think about it. At the end of the segment, you tell us. You know, give us a couple choices, and it's fine. But, I mean, you're in a category now because one of the guys that we had doing this, he's no longer on the show. But the only other person is D. Orlando Ledbetter. He's got his own walk-up.
A lot of pressure, guys. A lot of prestige, too. I love it.
No, that's love, man. That's nothing but love. Nothing but love. So,
well, thank you.
Having said that, good morning. How you doing? And what's got your eye for this today as far as college football?
Well, to answer the question, how am I doing? I'm always great on game day because it took so long to get here, and there's just nothing like Saturdays in the fall, especially. And the weather has been fantastic. I'm not going to go off on that and get derailed, but or anything like that. But yeah, I'm excited for today. There's a good set of SEC games. You know, we've talked about this before, and I grew up an Alabama fan, but ever since I was little, Georgia-Auburn has been my favorite rivalry in all of college football. There's just something about it. Usually in late November, like the leaves are changing. You know, it's usually right around the time for bourbon weather, as I like to call it.
Bourbon weather?
Bourbon weather. I like that. I've never heard that before.
It warms you up. It warms you up on a cold day. But, you know, this rivalry, it did so many great things about, like, the pageantry and traditions of SEC and these SEC schools. And the fact that it was started in Piedmont Park, you know what I mean? It just, I love this rivalry, so I can't wait for that game tonight. All of the stuff I just said aside, I am pretty worried about this Georgia offense after what we saw last week in Arkansas. So I'm eager to see the rivalry game and all that kind of stuff, but I think after kickoff, I think all the nerves will settle for Georgia fans, and hopefully they will have a much better performance on the offensive side of the ball than they did last week.
Spending time on the waitfor.com outline with Chris Mahler. Chris, I got to tell you, the first time I went to a game at Sanford Stadium years ago, I was amazed when I walked back up the field, going up back into the press box and look under the seats. They don't wait till November for bourbon weather, just in case you didn't know when you walked through the alumni section. They do not wait. The bourbon flows. Yeah. Those are some things they need to be on the lookout for against this Auburn team with a vet. They do have a quarterback that we know. Unlike Georgia, we don't know who's going to play that position. And talk
great
about
name.
Dealing with – yep. Bo Nix, talk about dealing with him in the Auburn offense.
You know, honestly, I've been saying this all offseason. Like, I think Georgia is going to compete for a national championship this year. I think they're going to get to the playoff and probably the championship game at least. But that being said, it had nothing to do with the offense, no matter who the quarterback is going to be. It's strictly because of the defense. And so I don't think they need to worry about that as much. You look at the Auburn offense and you know, game one of Chad Morris in the OC with Gus Malzahn, how is that going to work out? Because they were, you know, both play callers, and who's going to have the responsibility for that? And, you know, they did not look great in the first half against the Kentucky team that I think is still pretty underrated, and they were ranked going into that game. Auburn leaves that game on Saturday with, you know, Seth Williams having these just absolutely, like, Randy Moss and everyone they came in contact with. I mean, he was incredible, just an absolute beast. Bo Nix looked really good in the second half. Set the Auburn record for most consecutive passes without an actual interception of 218, which is surprising because he's only a sophomore. They were outgained, guys. Like all that aside, they won by 16, and it looks really good on paper. They were outgained by 60 yards this Kentucky team. They had the second fewest first downs of any team in the conference last week. I think getting three turnovers, having a couple calls gifted to them around the goal line were really beneficial for that Auburn win, and I think it looks a lot better, you know, than the score. Than the game actually was. You know, I think that going into this game, I don't see Georgia making those same mistakes that Kentucky did. So I'm not really that concerned with this Auburn offense.
Chris Mahler joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 99 The Game, 99thegame.com. I want to go around college football for a second. I want to ask you about two programs, and this is just my curiosity. One was written about this past weekend, what's going on with Texas A&M, are they overrated, and Jimbo Fisher, where he sits. This is a guy who went over there and off of the heels of a national championship, and I get it. It may take a couple years. He's in his third year to get the players that he wants and bring his total package there and put his thumbprint down. But do you feel like he's out over his skis with that program? And the other question I wanted you to take a second with is Tennessee. Are they back?
Oh, man. Just can't get enough of that question. I'll start with the Tennessee question because I think it's a pretty short answer. I don't think they're back for competing for conference or national championships yet. I think they could be next year, especially with that recruiting class coming in. Hats off to Jeremy Pruitt and what he's been able to do with that program. And, you know, this time last year, we're sitting here talking about, is he going to have a job at the end of the season? And now they have the longest winning streak in the country. They've ripped off, I think, four straight road wins as well, and they've looked really good. Going to A&M, it was a team that when before COVID happened, before they changed the schedule, all that, I was really high on this team to compete in the SEC West. And I honestly thought that Kellen Mond would be a dark horse for the Heisman because the way that schedule set up, they had 10 games in a row that were very winnable games, and then they closed the game on LSU. But it looked on paper they were going to be 10-0. I think people are tired of A&M, I think, in the SEC because they always have these lofty expectations. They always are ranked high going into November. They kind of fall apart. It didn't take that long this year because if you saw the Vandy game last year, I mean, being up 7-5 on Vanderbilt is a cause for concern. I think, you know, they are dealing with a lot of opt-outs and all that kind of stuff. And you look at this game today against Bama, and I think anyone trying to convince themselves that A&M is going to have a chance to win this game, it starts with Kellen Mond. And Kellen Mond's going to have to do something he's never done before, and that's beat a ranked opponent on the road because he's had four games where he's faced ranked opponents on the road in his career. And in all four games, he's had under 50% completion percentage, had his worst numbers ever. He had only three touchdowns and six interceptions. And they lost all four of those games by an average of 22 points. So I think you start 1-1, it's going to be a long trip back to Aggieland out there. I don't know if Jimbo is going to want to stay.
Man, okay. Yeah. Folks, that is Chris Mahler, Saturday Down South. He's joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. He is social.
Yes,
you can follow him on Twitter at Vern Funquist. At Vern Funquist, as we talk about the 3:30 CBS game today. All right, last week, Mississippi State goes down to Baton Rouge, and they beat LSU. Bring the cowbell. They're playing Arkansas today. Are these guys for real, or is that telling us about how badly LSU has fallen off?
Well, I don't want to say LSU's falling off that badly yet. But you, I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due. Like, that was so much fun to watch last week. And you know, talk about his debut coaching in the SEC. Mike Leach does what we were all hoping to see Mike Leach do. And that's just, you know, an onslaught, an air raid, whatever you want to call it. There's a one point in the third quarter, Mississippi State had 500 yards passing. They're up by 10 points on the defending national champions. And just Mike Leach could not have been more calm, cool, and collected. So I think he brings a great presence to that program and also to the SEC. I don't know if you asked me before the season, like, how this team would be, would they be able to compete in, you know, for an SEC championship or even a division championship, I would have said no, because, you know, we talk about the offense being great under Mike Leach, but the defenses are never that great under his teams. And so I think in his 18 years of coaching, he's only had two top 20 defenses at the end of the season. That defense came out last week and had 7 sacks against LSU. They looked really good. So if that defense can be strong the entire season, yeah, I don't see why they wouldn't be for real, because I think it's going to be tough to stop that offense. And you saw it last week. I mean, with a bunch of no-name receivers and his transfer quarterback lit the world on fire.
Chris, talk about Leach and the personality he's injected into the conference, because because of the dominance of Saban, all the rest of the coaches don't inject any personality. It really, to me, is Saban has kind of sucked it all out, because everybody's so serious and all of their base wants to know when you're going to beat Alabama. Talk about having the guys coming in, and it seemed like he's not worried about that right now. He's just having some fun and saying what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Leach is always kind of dancing to beat his own drum. The best way to put it, in my opinion, he's the drunk guy at the bus stop, and you can be a part of the conversation if you want to, but he's going to have that conversation regardless. Like, I mean, he's going to be talking, and you don't know what he's talking about. Like, and we love him for it. It's fantastic. I think that his personality, where he is so funny, and like we talk about, like, breathing that energy into the SEC. And he couldn't be less energetic when he's talking anyway. So it's incredible to watch. And the fact that now he has him and Kiffin in the same state is going to be a blast. But, you know, I remember the day they announced Leach, I was driving on Peachtree Road back to the house, and I was screaming at the steering wheel, like, in celebration, because I was like, oh, my God, we get to do media days for how many years in the foreseeable future with Mike Leach. And, like, I tell you what, if there's a question that ends up being asked next year media days, it's about football, I'll be disappointed, because I can listen to him talk about mascots in cage fights or whatever he wants to talk about.
Yeah,
like he did it with Wazoo. So, yeah, he's great, man.
Listen, before we get on out of here, there's two things I got to ask you. One, now that you bring it up, drunk guys, I always direct people to YouTube and just sit down, get yourself a drink, and roll through the Foster Brooks YouTube segments with him in it. Foster Brooks was a comedian from back in the day, and his bit was he played a drunk. But he brought the joke. So it's not just somebody just act, but it is the funniest thing you will ever see. He used to be on all those old shows, Dean Martin and things like that, but Foster Brooks, check him out. But the other thing is, we've given you 15 minutes or so, Chris. Have you thought of a theme song?
So I have. I'm narrowing it down right now, and I've always overthinked this. But I think the final answer,
give us two.
I wanted to be cool, and I can do two.
Yeah, give us a couple.
Okay, so it'll be Seeger, Ramblin' Gamblin' Man for sure.
Okay,
I think there are a few things that describe me better than that, and the other one will be Jeezy, All There.
All right, Jahi, you got those?
Okay.
All right, there you go. You're locked in, man, and we'll change them. You like the seasons? So we'll have one for, you know, first part of year and second part of year. Chris,
we'll have one for bourbon season, vodka season, and beer season. I got it covered. I got you guys.
and the drunk guy at the bus stop. Yeah, right. Him too.
Love that. Right. Love that. Chris Mahler, Saturdays Down South, man. It's always a joy having you on. You have enjoy your college football Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good one.
We'll talk to you later. Coming up next, a little HBCU update and a casting call and a great story having to do with LeBron's new house. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out at the radio.com app. Sam and Greg, we are here on a Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Long time here for about another
hour. You missed that.
What's that?
You missed that, man. We're missing that this fall. But we're hearing in the background.
Oh, right. Okay, well, you can't be talking to me cryptically. I'm trying to, like, set us up. I didn't know where you were going with that.
No, we missed this.
You're right. You're right. But let me finish the intro, and then you can say that. I didn't know what you were talking about. I thought, wait a minute, what I miss here? Anyway, you see what he's doing to me here? We're just having too much fun this morning, which, by the way, I couldn't be happier with because we can hear each other and everything sounds great. And, well, let's just jump into it. You threw me all off there again, but that's okay. I was going to tell you something that happened today. Okay, and I'm back on it. You know what today's date, what happened on this date, and it has something to do locally here, and somebody we mention all the time on the show, the all-time great Hank Aaron. Today was the day of his last hit, 1976. He got his last hit on this day.
Wow.
Three things of importance on this day. So that was 76. On the same day, but 3 years or 2 years earlier, and these both happened in 74, not only did Jerry West retire and then became the logo for the NBA.
Yes.
But this was the date that the first black Major League Baseball manager was hired. Frank Robinson.
Frank Robinson.
Became the Cleveland Indians player manager. Mm-hmm. I think the last dude before that did that was Lou Boudreaux, but I could be wrong. But I know he did it. Whoa. And by the way, I think it was for the same team, the Indians.
Okay.
But yeah, this was the day. But here's what gives you reason to pause. Frank Robinson was made the manager, okay, Cleveland Indians, on this day, 39 years old. His salary, $180,000.
That'd go a long way back then.
That did. But, you know, you talk to today's player. Hell, you talk to a few retired players like Chipper. I think he's got that on him.
Oh, probably.
Anyway, let's bring in our producer, the guy who was with us when we started this whole thing, when we got back on the air because of the pandemic, and he rode us through until just recently when there's some more changes happened at the station. We lost him for a few weeks, but he's back. I think he's going to be gone again, but he will be back with us, Jahi Whitehead. And Jahi had a segment. If you just
welcome back,
us.
Man.
Hey,
man.
Thank you, guys.
The HBCU update. We're going to give it give you a chance.
Who was that we just heard? Who was that we heard?
Well, we just heard Jackson State University. Mm-hmm. That we came in with Jackson State University. And I've been away for so long, I didn't get to mention the news about what happened with Jackson State University. I don't know if y'all talked about it. Did y'all get a chance to talk about it or not?
Last week, yes, we did.
Y'all did talk about it.
About prime time.
Prime time. Hey, coach.
What you think about it?
Man, I think that's great. I think it brings a different type of attention to HBCUs, and this goes into one of the points. They also are going to Jackson State University. They're going through a massive facilities upgrade with the athletic facilities, and part of it is due to big donations from friends of Deion Sanders. So they're going into phase one as of Thursday, and they're revamping their entire facility, which this is going to. Which one of the big things that's been a knock on HBCU athletics have been their facilities. With something like this happening, with a lot of money coming in from Deion Sanders' friends, and we know some of his friends are well off, like he is, this is going to raise the profile throughout the nation. And, you know, they're playing against Alabama A&M, Alabama State, Alcorn. This is in a SWAT conference, Grambling, like, all corners. So this is going to boost the profile of all of those schools around them.
Right. You know what I think? One of the earliest games, I think, is the Orange Blossom Classic, I think, which is Florida A&M in Miami.
Ah, oh, that'd be nice.
Don't you want to go to that?
I do. I wonder if it's
going
to be open to the public. Let's think about that.
Sam, you okay?
That might be a trip.
That's a road trip.
That
you don't want to go to that, Greg?
I do.
Don't you want to go to that, man?
The way you said that, it was like, wow.
Nah, I don't think you understand it.
In Miami, Greg.
I will ride to Miami with you, whether we attend the game or not. That's a different story, but I know Miami.
Yeah.
You want to go to the game.
Yeah, I do. You want to go to that game.
If nothing else, I missed the halftime. But, yeah, I
understand. No, you want to go to the game. You want to go.
So, speaking of the SWAC, the news that got lost with Deion Sanders going being in the SWAC. A young man, Noah Bowden, class of 2021, as QB from New York State. He went to Christ the King, and he decided to go to Grambling State. So he is the sixth ranked quarterback out of New York State. He visited Penn State and West Virginia. He turned down scholarships from Arizona State, Baylor, Cincinnati, and Alcorn State, another SWAC HBCU school. Last season, he threw for 2,840 passing yards and 23 touchdowns in 10 games. So I think that's going to be a nice addition. He had other schools. He decided to go to Grambling. So I think that's pretty big right there.
Yeah, so, all the way from New York. That's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, that's far. But that's again, I think that has a lot to do with Deion Sanders, or some of that has to do with guys like Deion Sanders bringing more attention to programs.
This is Jahi Whitehead. He's our producer. Join us, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Now, Jahi, I want to bring you in on something that was my thought, which was part of the conversation that Sam and I had when we talked about Deion Landon at Jackson State, and he disagrees with me wholeheartedly. I want to get your opinion on it, and here's my take, that this is not a 20-year, a 15-year, or maybe even a 10-year job, but let's definitely, he's not going to be there for much into the double digits. I don't see that happening. I believe this is a stepping stone to a bigger job, whether it's Florida State, who, by the way, couldn't have looked worse last week against Miami. And but Sam is telling me that relationship may not be the best location for him or a place that most people in the know feel like he's going to end up. My question to you is this: what's the end game for Deion as far as coaching? We know how much time he spent on the high school level with kids. Now he's here at Jackson State, going to turn things around. But where do you see him landing 10 years from now if he wants to continue coaching?
All right. So the first thing I want to say is not about the money.
No, we know that.
We know it's not about the money with him, especially he signed that big deal with Barstool. So
yeah,
we know it's not about the money. So I think before I heard him speak, I would agree with you, Greg. But after hearing him speak, especially on a couple of networks, especially during HBCU week last week, he really has an interest in HBCUs and making them progress in the way that they have been in the past, bring the light to and the attention that they have had. We got to remember, we had Hall of Famers come from HBCUs.
Yes, yeah.
That's not happening right now. The fact that only one person was drafted from an HBCU, which was in the seventh round, Tennessee State, and a lineman out of all of them, that's a little bit uneven. I think he's looking to do that. So will he be there 10, 15, 20 years? I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Will he be there 5, 6, 7?
See, I can see him being a coach there, turning that program around, doing everything you said, shining a light on the players, getting players that heretofore wouldn't come to those programs. But yet then, Deion is about control. Deion's about power. We can all agree on that, right? So I see him more stepping up to maybe an athletic director's position after being successful on the sidelines, were that to be the case. So if he's done everything he can do for the program as a coach, he got to get something else that's going to keep his juices going. And I see him as an AD, again, helping out, bringing the top shelf players, the blue chip players, to those programs.
So you see him as an AD at a HBCU?
Yes.
Yeah. I can see that.
That I can see.
Yeah.
To me, I think he's on the sideline there for about inside of 5 years. I hope he's there long enough to graduate a class. So a lot of people will look at him and scrutinize his graduations. Are you sure he's going to attract some guys that have the ability to sharpen the skills and play at the next level? That's what he wants to prove. He wants to prove that guys can come to HBCUs and still make it to the National Football League. It's prove what people have said for the longest time. It doesn't matter where you go, but what you do when you get there.
Right.
But he's going to put a fence up around those junior colleges in Mississippi and some of those those guys who are supposed to come out of there and go to major schools, he's going to get them to stay in Mississippi and come to Jackson State. He's already got one that was supposed to go to Mississippi State to commit to come to flip and come to Jackson State. He's going to do more of that. And I just think, like you said, the funds are coming in. They're going to upgrade some facilities. They need a stadium. Right. Jackson State right now does not have their own stadium. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that they need. But what a time for the SWAC. Jahi, would you love to be the commissioner of the SWAC right now with Florida in and
Bethune-Cookman coming in.
And now Deion Sanders as a coach bringing his brand to your brand. To me, that's gonna be remarkable.
Yeah,
and
Greg.
Oh, sorry.
I gotta get this other thing in here. See, y'all just go down that road there. You get rolling.
Go ahead.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I might have to put some of this back because we only got 2 minutes left here. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Jahi, man, welcome back.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
We're having so much fun with you. I gotta move my LeBron story to the top of the hour. I'll save it for that. But I do want to do a quick little casting call. It's not really the job so much. Listen, the industry is coming back slowly but surely. And the reasons for that is a whole nother segment. But what I have decided to do, at least in the beginning, as we work through things on our website, 92.9 The Game's website, and finding the new home for where Casting Call lives. It's up there. It's kind of cumbersome to find. Knox Bardeen, who I got to buy this dude, him and his whole family dinner for him helping me out. And you're next, Sam. But
yeah,
he has been helping find a location for the casting calls. So what I have done is the casting directors that I have gone to regularly, Destination Casting, they're doing Dwight and Shining Armor, Casting Tailor Made, who, by the way, and I'm not going to tell you this is for this particular project, but Heather does Stranger Things, one of the top shows on TV. That's getting ready to get back up and running. We have those jobs and kind of a generic submission right now. But what I'm going to focus on, for at least for the next few weeks, are the jobs behind the camera. And I direct you to those, starting with Georgia.org, because there are a number of job opportunities for crew members, people with certain kind of skill sets. I talk about this before, whether you're a carpenter, electrician, cook, driver, hairdresser, makeup artist. There are all those jobs there, and you can check every couple days because there's constant turnover. So I'm on Twitter right now, Get Cast with Greg. The latest list is there for the week of October 5th. But also, we're going to have it up on the website, but I don't have that like really easy directing you to, you know, seeing the list yet. But I will say you can go to destinationcasting.com, see their latest list, Casting Tailor Made, their latest list. Those go to their websites. Also, Bill Seller voiceovers. For those of you who want to get into doing voiceover work, BillSeller.com. You check out his website, he'll take you from soup to nuts. So I'm trying to give you a lot of the job opportunities and people who will help you in the industry, get your demo together, get your pictures, all that sort of stuff. And again, it's on Twitter right now. And then I guess if you just go to our website, 92.9thegame.com, click on Greg Clark's casting call, hopefully it will take you there. It's still a work in progress. Now, having said all of that, I'm going to save my LeBron story for here just a few minutes, which has to do with the industry that I was just talking about. Also coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk baseball with our own Joe Patrick and get you ready for college football. That's up next in the 8 o'clock hour. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. The booth
contaminated. Hey, check my face. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.